Welcome. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. This is Karen Edwards for the North Carolina Reading Service, and this is Modern Maturity. For the next half hour, I will be reading to you from various sources. I'm going to start with the continuation of an article from AARP, the magazine, about movies for adults. So let's look at the best time capsule, Maestro. Besides depicting the tumultuous love story of Leonard Bernstein, Bradley Cooper, and his wife, Felicia Montalegro, Carey Mulligan, Maestro captures the look and feel of their decades together. It's such a great window into the 20th century, says their son, Alexander Bernstein, 68. In scenes filmed in the Bernstein's Connecticut mansion, Cooper and Mulligan wear Felicia's and Leonard's actual clothes, which fit. Director Cooper studied old radio and TV shows, home movies and settings from Carnegie Hall to London's Ely Cathedral. Even the cinematography feels authentic, switching from 1940s black and white to modern color and camera lenses. It really dovetails with my own memories, said their daughter, Jamie Bernstein, 71. Now we have Best Ensemble, The Color Purple. The musical version of the 1982 Alice Walker novel and the 1985 Whoopi Goldberg film is a parade of talents blending in history and song. As Seal, American Idol's Fantasia Barrino steals the show, but Danielle Brooks is compelling as the spirited Sophia. Taraji P. Henson, 53, as Shug Avery, completes the trifecta in a female-centric drama. Coleman Domingo is terrifying as vicious Mr. Johnson, and the characters' connections build the film to a stand-up and cheer finale. We have a comment here from Brian Cranston on Your Honor. I'm attracted to characters who are humanely flawed. The writer-creator of Your Honor asked me, what would you do to save the life of your child? I said, anything. He asked, would you knowingly become a criminal? I answered, yes. That's the show, he said. It's painful, and you cannot look away. Now, continue with AARP's The Movie Awards. Best Intergenerational Film is The Holdovers. Paul Giamatti, 56, plays hilariously, curmudgeonly boarding school teacher Paul Hunham, forced to babysit a few students over Christmas break in 1970, reluctantly bonding with a misfit kid, Dominique Sessa. The movie's authentic depiction of the New England academic milieu is not surprising, since Yale grad Giamatti's dad, A. Bartlett Giamatti, was Yale's president, and screenwriter David Hemmingson, 59, whose own dad was the elder Giamatti's Yale classmate, has Hunham berate his students with insults that Hemmingson overheard people use, such as entitled degenerates and snarling viscoths. The result is the most poignant teacher-student movie since Dead Poets Society. Best Documentaries, still a Michael J. Fox movie. In this moving bio-documentary, Fox, 62, the icon diagnosed with Parkinson's disease in 1991, reveals how he copes with pain and muscle tremors, and that his quick wit remains utterly unimpaired. He's not only the only one who has to reconsider priorities after an ailment strikes and figure out how to make the most of life when the unthinkable happens. Best Foreign Film, The Zone of Interest. Directed by Jonathan Glazer, 58, this loose adaptation of Martin Amis's novel of the same name features the Queen of Auschwitz, Sandra Hüller, the most talked-about foreign actress of 2023, the wife of Nazi commander Rudolf Haas, Christian Friedel. She tends to her kids in an Edenic garden lit by the crematory yards away, comforting herself with items stolen from the camp's victims, like fur coats and a tube of toothpaste in which somebody hid precious jewelry. It's a remarkably original Holocaust movie, focusing on the lives and minds of the killers, not the victims. And we have a comment here from Jerry Baxter. This is Gary Turner on The Golden Bachelor. Whoa. The show resonates with people of our age because we have lived a full, rich life, and we've enjoyed a great highs and excitement. We've also felt, in one way or another, grief and sorrow. I think it hits home with people. So on to the TV awards. Best Actor, TV, Bryan Cranston, 67, of Your Honor. The Breaking Bad star plays disgraced judge-turned-convict Michael DiCiatto with brooding gravitas. Best Actress, TV, Jennifer Coolidge, 62, The White Lotus. She arrived at A-list fame like Cinderella on a rocket sled, as the hit shows Tanya McCoy, a dizzy, appalling, yet appealing heiress on the romantic trip of a short lifetime. Best Series, Succession. TV's most cynically realistic hit about the cutthroat kids of media patriarch Logan Roy, played by Brian Cox, 77, had an utterly brilliant twisty finale. Best Reality Series, The Golden Bachelor. The most unexpected hit of the year and the only one an LA billboard featuring AARP's headline, "He's hot, he's sexy, he's 72, The Golden Bachelor refuted ageism, reminding everyone that people 50-plus are still in the dating game. Now we're going back to AARP The Bulletin and their cover story on Alzheimer's. Is your brain on fire? I've always been intrigued by inflammation, said Linda Van Eldick, director of the Sanders Brown Center on Aging and the Alzheimer's Disease Research Center at the University of Kentucky in Lexington. She says chronic inflammation may be one of the primary drivers of Alzheimer's. Van Eldick studies microglia, immune cells that patrol the brain by the tens of billions. Normally, they work like trash trucks, gobbling up little scraps of amyloid protein waste before it can cause trouble. But when it is overwhelmed by inflammation, microglia pump out a torrent of inflammatory chemicals called cytokines. Cytokines damage nerve cells, neurons, and synapses, reducing communication between cells, she explains. It's a vicious cycle. When cells are damaged by cytokines, microglia start producing more inflammation. You get more damage, then you get more inflammation, Van Eldrick says. This may explain why aging, head injuries, stroke, and other brain insults increase risk for Alzheimer's and other dementias, she says. Van Eldick's NIH-funded research includes versions of an anti-inflammation drug candidate that blocks microglia from overproducing inflammatory compounds without stopping their normal trash collection duties, she says. In phase one clinical studies, the drug was found to be safe in healthy adults. It is currently being tested in people who had strokes caused by brain bleeding and with brain cancers treated by radiation. If successful, Van Eldrick expects the drug will be tested next in people with Alzheimer's. She also expects it to be used in other cell-damaging brain conditions in which abnormal inflammation plays a role. This drug has the potential to be a first-in-class disease-modifying therapy for Alzheimer's disease and related dementias, she says. Controlling neuroinflammation is at the forefront of the new treatment ideas for Alzheimer's, Fillett agrees. In 2023, there were more drugs in human trials for inflammation than for any other Alzheimer's disease. Modifying factor, and Fillett says inflammation drugs could be among the first Alzheimer's compounds to win FDA approval in the next 3 to 5 years. The battle on the home front. The difficulty in diagnosing Alzheimer's accurately has long hindered scientists' ability to study the disease. Historically, it could be confirmed only by examining the brain after death. Today, researchers can make a firm diagnosis of Alzheimer's by spotting amyloid plaque via positron emission tomography, or PET, or by testing for its presence with a lumbar puncture, says Ronald Peterson, MD, a Mayo Clinic neurologist and Alzheimer's researcher. But the first one is expensive, and the second one is invasive, so they're not routinely used. New and on-the-horizon blood tests that measure amyloid and tau in the brain aid researchers in tracking brain changes during studies. These blood tests are beginning to be used in doctors' offices. Sperling expects tests to be available in the next year showing not just how much amyloid is in the brain, but whether it is triggering the explosion of tau that seems to torpedo thinking and memory. This could help in the future determine risk in people who do not have Alzheimer's symptoms. We're going to do a much better job of predicting individual risk, she says. That's significant not just for treatment, but in terms of prevention as well. For all the deep science that surrounds the war on Alzheimer's, one of the most important weapons against the disease remains the simplest: healthy living. In that way, late-life Alzheimer's resembles heart disease, diabetes, and many other chronic conditions linked to aging. There is a genetic component, yet so much of prevention is in our own hands. A study of the University of Minnesota found that an estimated 41% of Alzheimer's and related dementias are attributed to a dozen modifiable risk factors, of which high blood pressure, obesity, and physical inactivity have the most impact. People need to know, what are my risk factors for Alzheimer's and other dementias, and are they things I can do something about, says Kristen Yaffe, MD, director of the Center for Population Brain Health at UCSF. Yaffe was the lead researcher on a November 2023 study of 172 adults ages 70 to 89 who had two or more risk factors for dementia. Those who worked on one or more personally chosen risk factors for 2 years boosted their scores on tests of thinking and memory and lowered their dementia risk more than those who simply received educational materials. Instead of a one-size-fits-all program, we wanted to see what would happen if we personalized it, Yaffe says. Strategies included taking care of high blood pressure, diabetes, and or depression, exercising, getting sound sleep, socializing, and quitting smoking. Dean Ornish, MD, founder of the nonprofit Preventive Medicine Research Institute and clinical professor of medicine at UCSF, is directing the first randomized controlled trial to determine if the same lifestyle changes that he pioneered to reverse coronary heart disease might slow, stop, or reverse the progression of mild cognitive impairment due to Alzheimer's disease. What's good for your heart is also good for your brain, because they share many of the same underlying biological mechanisms, Ornish says. We're at a state of evidence with Alzheimer's similar to where we were 45 years ago with coronary artery disease. At that time, it was thought that heart disease could only get worse. We found that bigger lifestyle changes could often reverse the progression of heart disease. We are studying if the same may be true for mild cognitive impairment due to Alzheimer's disease as well. One man shared, "I have a sense of hope. Undo it." A book Ornish wrote with his wife Anne describes his lifestyle medicine program for both heart disease and Alzheimer's. Prevention studies using drugs are gearing up. Researchers study medications like lecanemab in people with early evidence of Alzheimer's brain changes who do not yet have life-changing thinking and memory problems. In the future, Sperling says, drugs could be started before memory troubles appear, the way people with high cholesterol take statins to lower risk for a heart attack, and those with diabetes take blood sugar-lowering drugs to protect against complications such as kidney disease. This is the way forward, she says, is exactly what we do in heart disease and diabetes. We lower cholesterol before someone has a heart attack. This is what we have to do in Alzheimer's disease. For the first time, it's very feasible. The author of this piece, Sari Horar, is a contributing editor for AARP, the magazine, and frequently writes on health for the Bulletin, including recent cover stories on cancer and heart disease. We have a sidebar here, AARP and brain health. Staying mentally sharp and maintaining a healthy brain are among the top goals of aging Americans, which is why supporting brain health is also among the top priorities of AARP. Here are several ways we are addressing the topic in 2024. Staying sharp. AARP's well-established online program to help you fit brain-healthy habits into all aspects of your life is available free to both AARP members and non-members who register on our website. Signing up gives you free access to the cognitive assessment, a test to get a snapshot of your reasoning, memory, and attention performance that day. AARP members get additional resources, including more challenges, daily activities, recipes, meditations, and learning videos. Go to stayingsharp.aarp.org. Brain Health Resource Center. Launched in January, the Resource Center has answers to all your questions about vital brain health topics, among them brain maintenance, Alzheimer's and other dementias, stroke, depression and anxiety, traumatic brain injury, and Parkinson's disease. The Resource Center also is a gateway to AARP's Hearing Center, which has a free hearing test for members, brain health research reports, information and resources for caregivers, and much more. And that's at aarp.org/brainhealth. AARP's Global Council on Brain Health. Convened by AARP, the GCBH is a collaborative of scientists, health professionals, scholars, and policy experts from around the world working in areas of brain health related to human cognition. The Alliance's goal is to offer the best possible advice about what older adults can do to maintain and improve their brain health. The GCBH regularly issues new research reports, videos, and other resources for both professionals and consumers. For that, you go to aarp.org/GCBH. Dementia Discovery Fund. AARP in 2018 established the AARP Brain Health Fund, which then invested $60 million in the Dementia Discovery Fund, an international investment pool specifically targeting research toward treatments to prevent, defer, and/or slow the decline from dementia. 5 years into the initiative, the fund has invested in 17 biotech and health science companies, with 40 active programs focusing on dementia. 13 of those programs are in clinical trials. For that, you go to www.ddf.vc. And finally, Brain Health Action. Finally, AARP is launching a collaborative called Brain Health Action to spread the word that cognitive decline is not an inevitable part of aging. Organizations that join will be part of the national conversation to help their members, employees, and communities make brain-healthy choices. And for more on that, go to aarp.org/brain-health-action. Now, let's look at an article also from AARP The Bulletin, Your Money, Live Well for Less. This is by Lisa Lee Freeman. Win the grocery pricing game. Save big with those little shelf tags. One of the best tools for slashing your food bill is unit pricing. The tiny numbers on grocery store shelf tags showing a product's cost per pound, quart, or other standard measurement. Those prices help you find the best deal, in theory at least, by letting you compare apples to apples no matter what you buy. Looking at two different sized jars of, say, jam, you could be able to see which is cheaper on a per-ounce basis. Unfortunately, unit pricing can be devilishly difficult to decipher. For this article, I checked unit prices at a range of stores to see what they could save me. I found major hassles everywhere I shopped. The biggest problem, in stores and online, was mixed-up measurements. In one store, the unit price of a name brand liquid detergent was listed as $2.57 per pound for one bottle and $5.25 21 cents per quart for another. Was I really supposed to measure weight against volume? Tiny type and abbreviated product names were other big obstacles. In some cases, misaligned or missing shelf tags made it impossible to match prices with products. Coupons and sales make comparisons more confusing. But you can still use unit prices to come out ahead. Before you head off to the grocery store, pack your reading glasses or a magnifying glass so you can check the mouse print. Carry a calculator or use the one on your smartphone. If unit prices are missing or mixed up, do the math yourself. Take an item's total price, minus any coupon discount, and divide it by the amount of the product in ounces, pounds, liters, or however it's measured. Let's say that you find a 92 fluid ounce container of detergent for $12.97 and a 146 fluid ounce container of the same brand of detergent for $24.49, as I did in one store. Divide $12.97 by 92 and you get a per ounce price of 14 cents. Divide $24.49 by 146 and get 16.7 cents per ounce. Surprise! The laundry soap in the larger container is 19% more expensive. Here are some money-saving tips I learned by checking unit prices. I've never had this much fun doing math. Larger isn't always cheaper. Like the laundry detergent in those containers, some other products I saw had cheaper unit prices for smaller sizes, including store brand extra virgin olive oil and name brand sugar. Look to bags for better deals. At my local supermarket, bagged russet potatoes were 67% cheaper than those loose ones. Just be sure you can inspect the produce. I recently bought apples in a paper bag that hid lots of rotten spots. The whole chicken can be much less than the sum of the parts. On Walmart.com, I saw a whole name brand chicken for $1.32 per pound, while trays of the same brand's legs, wings, and breast went for $1.58, $2.98, and $4.64 a pound, respectively, up to 3.5 times the whole chicken unit price. Convenient containers will cost you. In one store, I found an 11.5 fluid ounce squirt bottle of mayo for $15.27 per quart. A 15 fluid ounce traditional jar costs $10.64 per quart, 30% less. To get that convenience and still save, I buy condiments in larger, money-saving sizes and then transfer them to reusable squirt bottles at home. Again, this article was by Lisa Lee Freeman. She's a journalist specializing in shopping and saving strategies. She was founder and editor-in-chief of ShopSmart magazine from Consumer Reports. And an item also from the bulletin, Fraud Watch. Our experts answer your fraud questions. AARP anti-scam advisors offer some timely advice. On any weekday, 300 to 400 people call the AARP Fraud Watch Network helpline to talk with our volunteers. You can, too. When fraud concerns arise, call 877-908-3360 between 8 a.m. and 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Americans reach out because of an encounter with a crook or out of concern that they or a friend or family member is being targeted by a scam. Trained AARP volunteers do what they can to provide the best answers for those concerns, sometimes referring people to law enforcement agencies, other times giving them useful advice. Here are some recent inquiries that present the range of frauds being perpetrated right now. You might find a concern of yours addressed here. I lost money in a cryptocurrency scam. Can I get any of it back? Recoveries are not common. Still, if you lost money in a crypto scam, immediately submit a report to the FBI Internet Crime Complaint Center, IC3, at ic3.gov, or contact your local FBI office and provide as much transaction information as possible. Be wary of anyone claiming they can recover your funds who is not verified as law enforcement. This can be another scam. Someone I care for is involved in an elaborate romance scam, but won't believe his phony paramour is a crook. How can I convince him? The blunt truth is you might not be able to break the spell. It's similar to trying to help someone with addiction. Here are some things that we recommend. Enlist help from a trusted source, police, attorney, doctor, and other friends or family. Consider writing a letter instead of speaking in person. This might help keep emotions in check. Share videos and news articles about romance scams. It might help your friend to see he is not alone in dealing with a predatory fake lover. Ask him to consider family or individual counseling. Also, if you have what you consider legitimate evidence of a fraud, report it to the police. Someone stole my wallet. I had everything in it. What should I do? Although much identity theft has shifted online, there's still no shortage of criminals who covet a card-filled wallet. First steps include calling all of your financial institutions and telling them that your accounts are compromised. Most will close your account immediately and transfer all assets or liabilities to a new one. Alert your state DMV. If you have a driver's license, it will likely issue you a new one. And alert your health insurer, whether it's private or Medicare. You should also file a police report to document the case. Next, put a fraud alert on your credit report to stop anyone from getting a credit card in your name. Consider setting up an identity protection PIN at irs.gov to prevent someone from getting through to your account and impersonating you. Find help with all of these steps at identitytheft.gov. I keep receiving packages I didn't order. What should I do so I won't be billed? The U.S. Postal Service website says that many people simply pay for the item. But you don't have to. If you have not opened the package, mark it return to sender. USPS will send it back at no charge to you. If you open the package and like what you find, keep it free. This is a rare instance when Finders Keepers applies. By law, unsolicited merchandise is yours to keep. Why does it happen? It might be a scam called brushing. The intention is to create a record of a verified buyer. Then the sender will write a fake review in your name. These fake reviews help to fraudulently inflate the product's ratings and sales numbers, says the U.S. Postal Service Inspection Service website. This can result in increased sales. Well, unfortunately, we are too near the end of our time to do the final two suggestions in this article, but I'll get to them next time. For now, we've run out of time for today's episode of Modern Maturity. Be sure and listen at the same time next week. I hope you've enjoyed it. I'm Karen Edwards, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Modern Maturity is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please call 919-832-5138. That number again, 919-832-5138. And thank you for listening to the North Carolina Reading Service.